This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome to a Thursday. Oh, gosh, you hear that? Ah, the throat is back, baby.
It sounds better today. There you go.
That's right,
did you have some hot tea and lemon and honey last night?
I did.
How'd that work for you?
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I didn't have another one tonight. Fell in love with it. seriously.
It's good. Yeah.
It was good. It was it's very fresh. It's very refreshing.
Right.
I definitely felt like those, I don't know, those 90s commercials where the guy's like, oh, just, you know, and then takes the drink with the steam coming out of the cup, and then he takes the drink and just is like,
ah. Yeah, the word effervescent comes to mind when you see something
great
like
band.
That. Yeah, they were good, yes.
Good lead singer at the Girl
Voice.
Yeah,
from Detroit, loved him. Marshall Mathers.
Wake me up inside. Oh, that's Evanescence. I had one guy try to fight me one time because he was a big Tool fan, the band. I'm not a huge Tool fan, whatever. I mean, if you like Lights and Whistles and Nader, right? And he was playing a song in a poker game, and I was like, is this Evanescence? And he looked at me and he goes, no, dude, it's Tool.
Tool and Evan, whatever it is, in the same category?
I don't know. It sounded like the Wake Me Up Inside song.
Okay.
But it was really,
what,
I guess.
Name another.
Evanescence once.
Evanescence?
Yeah.
There it is.
Evanescence?
That's
I don't know why I can't say that this morning. Name me another song.
By Evanescence?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There you go.
I didn't listen to that type of music.
Right, yeah. That was it, man. That was the only song. I'm sure somebody will say, well, how could you forget this? I wasn't really into
Bob
Evanescence.
Bob Fesco, Patrick Mahomes, same person.
Yeah, I mean, you feel the pain, and that scares you because, I mean, obviously I've dealt with ankles before, but just kind of laid there, and as time kind of went on, it kind of, the pain subsided. I don't know the word.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're the same person. Did get a good report on Patrick Mahomes yesterday, so.
Yeah.
People out at Arrowhead are feeling pretty good about where he is right now. No, not that at all. Like, is he okay? Like, is he going to be like, you know, able to play, or is it going to be like one of those things? All right, we got to devise a game plan for Patrick to hand off a
full
lot because he can't
participate in practice.
Yeah, no, he looked good yesterday in practice, from what I've been told. So that's a good thing. We can move on and not even have that as a topic of conversation anymore. Even though I'm sure it will be, you know, part of the game broadcast and whatnot.
He looked good in practice. Yeah. Mac looked really good driving to work.
He
today.
Did look good. No, like he wasn't limping around, wasn't hobbling around. You know, like you'd be like, oh my god, we gotta run the ball because Patrick can't throw, and you put him out there like as a decoy. Oh, Patrick. Playing, you know, one of those things, but Patrick's like 2% or whatever it is.
Did you see the audio yesterday of like him and Andy Reid's discussion on the sideline when it happened?
Yeah, yeah.
They've gone from, I'm taking you out to get you looked at, to, do you need to? No,
we're good.
Come
we're
on,
fine, man.
No.
Yeah, and the whole thing about like carrying him off the field, like the Willis Reed moment that we saw, he's like, nah, they didn't want me to walk on my own at all either. Good theater, right? Good theater, good drama for the NFL. I told you,
I guess. I mean, I was sitting there like, oh shoot, like I felt like Brittany Mahomes when they showed her and Taylor's reaction to him being hurt.
We all did.
I was like, oh god, not again. Because I literally, I'm gonna be honest with you, and I know it didn't happen. Knock on wood. I thought pop. I thought, oh no,
for sure.
It was non-contact.
Right.
It was wet, sloppy field. I know Arrowhead's field is immaculate, trains very well. It's heated and all that sort of stuff.
But still wet during the game.
The way it like looked, I'm like, this is what screws us.
Yeah.
This is how it happens. And fortunately, it didn't.
No.
So they're all good to go. Don't have to worry about anything like that.
Yeah, like I know people probably have a little anxiety because they saw the Mahomes thing happen. How healthy is he going to be?
Any non-contact ever by whoever it is. Could be Jordan Love, could be Patrick Mahomes, could be, I don't care,
Aaron Rodgers,
Bo Nix.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not good.
No, it's not good. No, the non-contact stuff sucks, but I was glad to feel and to let everybody know, don't have anxiety over Patrick Mahomes this week. Everything going to be okay.
Until somebody tackles him and goes low.
Yeah, well, somebody probably will. Who on Denver is going to do that? Is it going to be Von Miller? Do you think he's going to do that
probably
this weekend?
Bradley Chubb.
I would imagine, yes.
Might be, you never know, might be Bill Romanowski.
Oh, God, Romanowski, one of the weirdest dudes ever. Oh, my God.
The guy sucks.
Great Super Bowl guest. Him and his wife, grifters.
forgers too. To doctor's scripts.
The whole thing. It's unbelievable.
Random story about Bill Romanowski. He was on the Jim Rome show once. And I don't know if you've seen this movie, Mac, The Longest Yard. It's a remake. They did one back in the like 60s with Burt Reynolds. Did a new one with Adam Sandler. And obviously,
Reynolds. I didn't think we'd have a Burt Reynolds drop this morning.
I just watched a video of like him and Mark Summers on Leno's show.
How old is that?
Got to be like 92.
Oh my god!
And they're like pissed at each other.
Mark Summers is mad at Burt Reynolds.
I'll send it to you.
Why? No, how would that?
I'm trying. Yeah. Right. So they're on there together, and Burt Reynolds is like that sly. I think it's like 91, 92, somewhere around there before Double Dare. And Mark Summers like taps him on the arm. He goes, "Well, at least I'm still married." And Bert takes his water cup and throws it on Mark Summers. And then they kind of, you can tell, are like tense. And then like they're sitting there and Mark Summers then throws his water on Bert Reynolds. And then Bert Reynolds tries to like, you know, touch his hand and be like, "You'll be all right." And he's like, "Don't touch me." And they go to commercial break and Jay Leno's like,
right.
You know, and then they like settle it with a pie throwing at each other's face. They do like the old Western standoff. 3, 2, 1, turn around. And I'm not kidding you. Burt Reynolds reaches back and throws it as hard as he can at Summers. Summers throws it as hard as he can at Burt. And then it's just like, it's over.
That's bizarre because, number one, I feel like it had to be staged in if they had pies ready to go.
I think so, because after they do it, they're kind of like, you know, yeah. But when they're doing the water thing, it does not seem staged.
Right. Well, because you probably stage something, somebody takes it to the next level. And you're
of course.
Dude, this was not what we were supposed to do.
It was supposed to go on
right?
my lap, not my face.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. One of those type of things. And I'm surprised Mark Summers, who is a germaphobe like I am, you know, it would participate in something like that, too. I mean, you know, you don't want somebody's dirty pie coming at you, you know? Like, I'm surprised Mark Summers participated in that.
Yeah. Speaking of participation, everybody in the AFC West gets a participation grade against Patrick Mahomes. It is Bronco week.
Yes, it is.
I know a lot of people have the team they hate in the AFC West, which I feel like we missed out on a poll question yesterday. Who's the team that you hate the most in the AFC West? It's always been Denver.
It
will always be Denver. I know I am unfortunate. I didn't get to grow up in the Raiders history, like the 70s and the 80s of Raider week. My whole life, guys, Denver has always been the team I've hated because of how much they have ruined me as a sports fan. So you can take it all the way back to Elway.
Mm-hmm.
When my dad started to introduce me to football, 1997, right? I'm 10 years old. Chiefs had the best record in football. They're 14-2. Marty Schottenheimer, he's got everybody there. Tony Gonzalez is a rookie. Dayton Hughes is the veteran receiver. Sorry, excuse me. And it's that honey.
You need some
up.
Of that honey lemon tea mixture.
Good. And Elway comes to Arrowhead and they beat the Chiefs. And that would be the start of the back-to-back Super Bowl wins for the Broncos. And then I've got to hear, "This one's for John." R.I.P. to that guy. Not to make fun of him. I just had to hate that saying. Terrell Davis. The Raiders used to put Vaseline on their jerseys so the Chiefs couldn't tackle him. True story.
No, they all do that. Yeah. WD-40 was another one you'd put on.
And it was always Denver. And then they would go get this guy named Jake Plummer out of Arizona State, right? He would come in and they would start doing these stupid bootleg plays that the Chiefs, for some reason, man,
you knew it was coming.
Jake Plummer would do a bootleg and somehow that guy would beat you. Then it was like, you know, fast forward the clocks a little bit, and Peyton Manning's a free agent. And here comes Peyton Manning to Denver, mm-hmm. who whips your ass every single game. And it's like, is this ever going to stop? And now, here we are today. Mahomes is 12-1 against the Broncos, 11-2 versus the Raiders, 9-2 versus the Chargers, an overall record of 32-5 versus the AFC West in his career. And if he wins on Sunday, he will be 3-0 versus the AFC West this year. And the AFC West is over, and it couldn't be a sweeter team to do that to than Denver.
Yeah, it'll be good to knock Denver off. And I want to boat race this weekend, right? I want to see them go and motorboat Denver. Like, this is one where you go, like, do what Baltimore did last week, right?
41-10.
Go take your aggression out if you have any on the Denver Broncos. But I'm with you. Like, we're from that generation where we kind of missed the Raider thing because they weren't really good during our lifetime, right? I know they went to that Super Bowl in 2002 and whatnot, but that's the last time the Raiders have truly been relevant. Denver has always been a relevant team kind of in our lifetimes. And you mentioned, mm-hmm. I go back to the early 80s, obviously. And
yeah, you got like a glimpse of the Raider hate.
Not really.
But the old guys,
like when I first started doing this job in Kansas City, it was 2001. And so you still had a lot of the Raider hatred. But more importantly, you still had Lamar Hunt and Carl Peterson in that organization. And Lamar Hunt hated the Raiders with all his passion. Mm-hmm. And Carl Peterson hated Al Davis with all his passion. And they passed that on to Marty Schottenheimer, who hated it with all his passion. Then Gunther Cunningham, he hated the Raiders. I mean, he got into a shouting match with a Raider fan and whatnot, you know, leaving the game as the head coach. And then Vermeil came in and took over. And then once Lamar passed away and once, you know, Carl left and once the Raiders became an irrelevant franchise, I don't want to say that hate dissipated, but it's not the same because the Denver Broncos had always been a good team. And for years, there were like two teams and two organizations. I'm like, damn, I wish we were like the St. Louis Cardinals in baseball winning every year. And damn, I wish we were Denver. They have quarterbacks. They win. They find ways to get it done. And now here we are. We got the Royals and Chiefs, and we're in a good spot right now. We're better than, you know, both of those organizations. But the Denver hate has so many different levels to it because the John Elway thing, right, that obviously happened. And then you look at what happened after John Elway left. He broke everybody's heart. Then Vermeil comes in, and he had said one time, he goes, we just can't win up there. There's just no chance. We just can't win up there. Like, just admitted that we can't win in Denver and you know, did their thing, and they lost to the Broncos seemingly all the time. And every year, like, damn, I just beat the Denver Broncos. Why can't they beat them up in Denver? And then the Peyton Manning thing happens. You're like, oh, my God. Like, the rich just continue to keep getting richer out here in Denver. They win that Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff. And so for me, and I think for our generation, I think the Raider hatred, I don't want to say it is dissipated, but it's not the same to me. Like, I see Denver, I truly get excited for Bronco Week because I want to kick their ass, right?
You know, the
mascot looks like Elway, the whole nine
Shanahan's
yards.
Shanahan's nickname was the Rat. You know, like,
yeah, like
hated
Shanahan. You absolutely hated that guy.
That's probably why I don't like Kyle. Bet Kyle's a good dude.
Don't like his dad. Yeah, no, you didn't call him the Rat. He was eating cheese all the time and whatnot. And once Scott Pioli got here, all that kind of like Raider hate, that stuff kind of died out a little bit. But the Raiders haven't been anything worth, you know, worrying about over the last 20 years.
The only time the Broncos have beaten the Chiefs, Mahomes had the flu.
Had the flu. And, you know, that's been it. So, like, I do get excited for Bronco Week. There's just something about it. I like this rivalry a lot. I like it better than the Raider rivalry, maybe because I've been to games in Denver a lot and, you know, been to those Chiefs games. Saw Mahomes throw left-handed on the field. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm watching this type of stuff. Like, just wild and crazy stuff. But always had a great time, you know, when we went out to Denver, obviously. It was the first parking lot that you could smell weed when you were walking to the game
back
in the day.
It's a great stadium, actually. It pains me to say it.
Oh, it's wonderful. Like, if you've never been to a game out there.
If you sit on the east side of the stadium, you can look out and you see the mountain range and the sunset.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is awesome. And then you look down and there's a giant ass right there. And you're like, I hate this place, I love this place, but I hate it, but I love it.
I mean, I've got a lot of games on like trips with fans and stuff but this gets me excited. Like, I like Bronco Week and I want to kick their ass and put this division away and not just win, but kick their ass and let everybody know, hey, 9-0 and look at us.
I've sent you the videos so you can watch Turd Ferguson, funny name.
Turd Ferguson was fantastic.
Funny name. Silver size hat. Yeah. R.I.P. to Norm MacDonald.
I know.
On the other side, it's okay sometimes to be like somebody else. I'll explain what that means here on Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back in it on a Thursday. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you. Hope you're all having a great day. Sun's starting to come up a little bit earlier and earlier and earlier. You love to see it.
The earlier it comes up, the earlier it sets. December 22nd, can't get here soon enough.
Winter solstice.
Let's go. Shortest day of the year. Then the days get longer. Then you can smell spring in the air.
913-586-7965. Do you hate the Raiders, Broncos, or Chargers more?
Does anybody even register with the Chargers? Like,
I think the Chargers, I mean, Harbaugh is going to make them hateable. Yeah. I think that we can all kind of agree that they are the team on the come in the AFC West.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
I think they have the outside of Andy and Patrick, I think they have the best QB coach combo.
Mm. It's today.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting to
see. Who do you trust more, Jared Goff and Dan Campbell, Justin Herbert, or John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh?
Goff and Campbell.
Okay.
Yeah, Goff and Campbell right now. Okay. Absolutely. They've been together for a lot longer and have had some success right now.
I just meant talent-wise.
I don't know.
Goff is better than Herbert?
I don't know. I'm not a Herbert fan.
I know Mac
fan.
Does.
Yeah, I'm just not a Herbert fan. I think he was crowned and then was never able to get rid of the crown. And he did blow a 35-point lead or whatever it was in the playoffs and hasn't been back.
So, or Staley?
Well, I think it's a combination of everything, but you're the quarterback. If you're going to get credit for the Super Bowls and you get credit for the losses,
he's also
well, so.
The same kind of narrative that you would have as well. Like another coach.
Yeah,
another coach,
it is.
Right?
Yeah. Right. And so we'll see. Maybe this is the one that works for him, but I'm not ready to go out there and, you know, anoint him. I just feel like when we anoint quarterbacks, it's people nationally trying to find somebody other than Patrick Mahomes. And that just bothers me. I'm just going to be honest with you. It just bothers me. Like, this guy's going to be he played one half. Like, let's calm down. And if the doctor doesn't shoot Tyrod Taylor with the needle in the wrong spot, maybe we never hear from Justin Herbert. You know, it's like, I think wasn't it Tyrod Taylor that?
Yeah, it was.
Right, like
punctured his lung,
and so Tyrod Taylor couldn't play, and then Justin Herbert played, and you know the rest is history.
He played
so
very well,
played great against
played
the
awesome.
Chiefs. Yeah, yeah, he played fantastic. That probably his best game against Kansas City was the first one. But
yeah,
but we'll see. You know, you got to do it on the field before I'm ready to crown you. For Chiefs, we're thankful for beginning next week every day at 6:40. We're gonna play a highlight from a Chiefs player we are thankful for. We're gonna do one every day next week. We'll have five qualifiers, and then on Friday we'll announce who wins the $500 Hy-Vee gift card right before Thanksgiving. So every day next week, be listening at 6:40. We'll play a highlight of a Chief we're thankful for. You call in, be caller number 6, get your name on the list, and then Friday, the five qualifiers, one will win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card for Thanksgiving. So we're looking forward to that.
Last week, Baltimore beat Denver 41-10. Baltimore is favored by 9. There were some people that were like, stay away from it. You know, Denver's got a chance. We did our script last week, and one of the things that I predicted, which is once in about every 10 times I get something right, I said that Baltimore would blow Denver out. And the reason I said that is because Denver hadn't really been challenged, and Mac was agreeing at the same time. He's like, you know what? Denver's got a stretch coming up here where they play Baltimore, Kansas City, and somebody else.
Buffalo, is it? Or no, not Buffalo.
No, Buffalo played, yeah. By the way, Chiefs 1-point favorites in that game already in Vegas against Buffalo. Ooh,
and they were an underdog when the season started. I think that was their only San Francisco and Buffalo were the two underdog games this year. Already beat San Francisco.
Right.
And now they're the favorite against the Buffalo Bills on the road in Orchard Park. Oh, my gosh.
Let's go.
All right. Let's go, baby.
I want to say that this game against Denver opened up as Kansas City was like 8.5 favorites.
Yep.
It's now 7.5 according to DraftKings. The source that I had, 7.5. So it's gone down a point. Not sure really why. I think it's just because it's maybe Mahomes' ankle thing or whatever. But like Bob said, it's fine. Rest assured, he's going to be easy. It's an Arrowhead. But I think this is one of those games, and I tell people, you know, be yourself, be original, but it's okay to sometimes take people's, you know, things and try to spin them to your own, right?
Sure.
Like, I have role models in life that I kind of take some things that they do.
Oh. You're welcome.
and try to, like, you know, implicate that throughout to give respect or pay homage to those people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's time for the Chiefs to pay homage to the Baltimore Ravens. Go be the Ravens of last week, this week. It's time. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean it as in, like, it has to happen. I'd be satisfied if they won 23-14 against Denver this week, which is still a 9-point victory, which would still cover the spread.
But we all want that blowout.
And I think this is the team you could do it to, because there is a lot of key factors that's in this game, right? Does a blowout against Denver looking like Baltimore, right? Because Baltimore loses to Cleveland, then they blow out Denver, and everybody forgets that they lost to Cleveland, Vegas, and the Chiefs, right?
It's a week-to-week league.
And
yeah.
If this team blows out Baltimore, or I mean Denver this week, like let's say the Chiefs win 35-7, right? Just say that's the number.
Yeah.
Does that solidify to the world that the Chiefs are that team, that there's no longer the conversation of, yeah, they're undefeated, but they haven't really arrived yet, but they still need some things to be answered, but
yeah,
they're not the team?
There is.
Or is,
You know, is there something else? And if that's not what it is, what is there that's going to have to happen for them to do it?
They win 35-7 and Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns and people will still be questioning the offense. Because if they go up 35-7, maybe they have a special teams touchdown, a defensive touchdown. Let's just, you know, have the conversation for argument's sake. And Patrick Mahomes throws one touchdown pass and 189 yards. People will say, yeah, they won, but the offense still isn't clicking and all of that nonsense like they like to do. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs need to go out there for the national perspective, right? I don't really care what they say, but you do because everybody's talking about the Chiefs and people trying to figure out if they're good or not and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
They need to go out there and have one of those games where Patrick Mahomes goes for about 350, three touchdowns. DeAndre has 100. Travis has 100 yards. And, you know, you get a couple of big plays from Kareem Hunt in the run game. Like, have one of those offensive games that people have been waiting for since 2018. Why we're still waiting for that game nationally, I don't know, but it seems like people are. And I've really come to, you know, learn that the truth isn't really necessarily the truth. It's what you believe to be the truth, what your perception is. And for whatever reason, people still have this perception in 2024 that the Chiefs offense is failing and it's not doing a good job and it's not living up to its standards, which is further from the truth than anything we've ever seen. So, so I think they need to go out there and have one of those games where they just absolutely beat the snot out of somebody from an offensive standpoint for people to say, okay, they've arrived. Because if they go out there and they do what Baltimore did to Denver, I think people will finally start waking up and going, okay, this is a legit 17-0. This is a legit Super Bowl three-peat. Like, throw your arms up and go, there's just nothing stopping this team right now. So I think they need to do that at least one game this year, and preferably this weekend would be nice going into the Buffalo game, because I think if you blow Denver out and you send a message at noon on Sunday, remember the game is noon on Sunday. If you send a message noon on Sunday and kick the out of Denver, kick the it out of Denver, then you are going to be talked about all week going in, because everybody's talking about the Buffalo game next week, right? Like, they're already starting to talk about the Buffalo game. And if you go out there and you destroy Denver and you wreck Denver, and everybody on Monday morning is going to go, uh-oh, right before Buffalo, the Chiefs found the secret sauce. Whatever that secret sauce may be. Maybe it's the sweet zing sauce.
Is it the comeback sauce?
Could be the comeback sauce from, you know, KFC, or, you know, whatever kind of Cajun butter sauce you want. Whatever you want, baby, right?
Lube me up.
Yeah, so that's where I think it has to go this weekend. I think for them to get that final kind of like, okay, they've arrived, you go out there and kick Denver's ass. And if Baltimore can do it, so can you.
No doubt.
Well, and to piggyback off you, Bob, if you don't blow Denver out this weekend, you're 9-0. Obviously, things are still great, but you're right. The national media is still not.
I don't know. Yeah, Buffalo. Don't know. Right.
And then you beat Buffalo, you're 10-0. Now, all of a sudden, you're going into the Carolina Panthers game, kind of like with some pressure, like you kind of need to blow that team out because you hadn't done it. And I know that's so stupid to say, because you'd be 10-0, you'd be atop the AFC, you'd be top the NFL, but still have that kind of monkey on your back. So, yeah, this is kind of the weekend to do it, I feel like.
Let's go. Just go have some fun out there, right?
Exactly.
Like go get DeAndre Hopkins more involved. Go get Xavier Worthy back involved in the game plan. Let him know what the sideline is all about and have him navigate that thing and whatnot. And, you know.
And I think this is an interesting text from the text line. It says, we all just need to accept the Chiefs don't boat race anyone. We all thought last week was the week. They just never do it anymore. And to say they don't do it anymore is not factually true. To say they don't do it as much as anybody else, or they do it, you know, maybe the fewest out of the teams that are dominant, is true. Because last year they beat the Bears like 42-10.
They did. Yeah.
They have those games where they can be more superior than the other team, right? And we've got all the scores up there. I mean, I don't know. They've won a game this year 28-18 on the road.
That's a 10-point win in the NFL. That's a big win.
That's not a boat race, though, which I think this is the
other. What is a boat race?
And that's where I'm going. This is where I think people get it lost. Like, what do you consider a blowout? Because I look at a game like that San Francisco 49ers game, it might not be the definition of a boat race, but it's the definition of an ass-kicking, because Brock Purdy was not good. His only touchdowns were rushing touchdowns, and the Chiefs' defense was, you know, a cheese blanket to their offense.
Right,
and
you gave up 18 points to San Francisco, and you scored 28. That's a boat race.
And so I think the thing that's crazy is that, like, they can do that, but also, like, what would you rather have? Show all your chips in the regular season and have evidence out there, or be like, we can win with
this sort of playbook. And when we need to bring, like, if I was any team in the NFL right now that was going to be competitive in the playoffs, I would take that overtime drive the Chiefs had against Tampa Bay and I would study it. I would study that drive because that is the Chiefs team that when that sort of offense is played, that's where you can't beat them because Mahomes was so methodical. That's what it looked like against San Francisco in the Super Bowl. That's what it looked like against Tampa Bay. And unfortunately, you did have to show a hand against Tampa Bay in that overtime to win the game.
Yeah, but that's the style of offense that I think we've all kind of loved with Patrick Mahomes. Just move the ball down the field. Nobody got in your way. You score a touchdown, you win a game, and you move on, and you own that overtime period. But, you know, Andy is a different coach. I mean, Andy doesn't want to embarrass people, right? Like, Andy respects the game, if you will. And if he's up big on somebody, he is going to call off the dogs. He's not going to go out there unless you've crossed him, right? The Chicago Bears, well, they crossed the Kansas City Chiefs by the way they treated Matt Nagy. So they took their aggression out on them. I would imagine after that game in Denver and losing that game to the Broncos, there's a little bit of revenge factor out there right now for Patrick Mahomes and this organization because people say, oh, they beat the Chiefs last year. Mahomes was puking in a garbage can and couldn't stand up. You've had the flu. You know, this guy played in an NFL game with the flu.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't get up out of bed when I have the flu, let alone go out there and, you know, play a football game. So I just think right now where this team is, they're not going to go out there and embarrass anybody unless you've done something to them. And then when you've done something to them, they're going to return the favor and do something to you. And so I kind of think that's where we are right now because both games last year against the Broncos were close. The Thursday nighter at Arrowhead was a very close game. And then obviously they lost the one out in Denver last year. So I think last year sent the message to the Chiefs, hey, Denver plays you tough. We got to go out there. And you know what? All right, you're not going to play us tough this week. We're going to go out there and we're going to kick your ass.
The other thing, this is a good text from the 816. I think you know the answer to it. Texter and everybody here says, serious question going around my work. Do the Chiefs play down to their opponents or does everyone play up to
everyone
the Chiefs?
Everyone plays up to
exactly.
the Chiefs.
Yeah. You get everybody's Super Bowl, yet you're still 8-0. We had this conversation on Tuesday.
Right.
Where I think it's, or yesterday, where we're talking about how it's laughable. We led the show with that. And I think it's laughable that everyone says, oh, yeah, Chiefs are 8-0. They're not the best team. Okay, well, they had one of the toughest, if not the toughest, strength of schedules in the first half of the season and went undefeated. Not only that, you're getting everybody's best effort.
They've gotten everybody's best effort since 2019, and they've put up an unbelievable record and won three Super Bowls. That in and of itself is remarkable. They get everybody's best effort every single game because everybody knows if they beat the Chiefs, they've arrived, if you will, no matter what their
record
is.
And you're going to get talked about for the entire week.
And you're going to get talked about for the week. Did the Jets put out the blueprint to beat the Chiefs? Like every week the Chiefs lost, you heard that kind of nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, the blueprint's here. The blueprint to beat the Chiefs. You mark my words. If they lose a game this regular season, and let's say it's to Buffalo next week just for argument's sake, there will be conversation on Monday morning. Did Buffalo give the rest of the NFL the blueprint to beat the Kansas City Chiefs? The answer is no to that question. There's no blueprint to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
The blueprint to win the AFC West is a win no matter what this weekend.
Yeah.
You win this, your first box that you check off every season, win your division, right? That's always number one. No matter if you are the back-to-back champs or you've never won your division before, your first goal every year is win your division. You win this game against Denver this week, the AFC West is over.
Right.
Right? Like, I think it's done. And then if you get to Buffalo, if Buffalo didn't beat you, right, there's so much pressure on Buffalo next week because...
Is this the last team that can beat the Chiefs on their way to 17-0?
There's that. If Buffalo doesn't win, right, like, then the AFC is possibly over.
Done.
Yeah, it's over.
Right?
Yeah. Done, yeah.
And
I mean, even if Buffalo does win, the AFC's over. I mean, I hate to break that news. The Chiefs will still have a two-game lead over Buffalo, right?
And not only that.
One game?
One-game lead. Yeah, the tiebreaker. Yeah.
What are they?
6-2.
Buffalo 6-2? My bad. Okay, so yeah.
And they'd have the tiebreaker, so that's like a
fake
win.
Yeah,
that's why if you win, you're four games.
It's interesting. Yeah.
All right.
And then not only that, if this guy had 6 for 86 and 2 touchdowns the night before.
If they can clinch, I don't think they do it. If the Bills can chase them, but three-peat, I would put that in the
realm. I like my math. I like my math.
I have a hard time with the 17-0, but I also have no trouble saying when I was wrong, and I thought DeAndre Hopkins wasn't going to be a huge addition. But we saw that on third down, It's so impressive to keep these drives alive. And also, Patrick Mahomes trusts him. Yeah. And we don't see Patrick Mahomes give a lot of guys, like, chances to win challenge balls. And he's throwing up a bunch of, like, 50-50 or almost 70-30 in the other way. Like, this one right here is into triple coverage with a Pro Bowl safety back there. And he trusts DeAndre Hopkins to make that play. That's scary for everybody in the league.
Look out if that chemistry builds, because that's another factor going into this week, right?
Oh, God,
like,
yes.
Like, everybody's added a player, like,
nobody's added something like this, though, where it's just been embraced.
Like,
and
we all
loved.
Jumped up on the Jets getting Davante Adams because that's Rodgers' guy, right? Like, this could really take the Jets to the next level. Mike Williams goes to Pittsburgh. This is what they said is Russell Wilson's DK, big body receiver outside.
Right.
Again, text line before you boat race me. I'm not saying that he's DK Metcalf. He's that for Russell in Pittsburgh, a big target that he can throw to down the field. You see Amari Cooper go to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Was nice week one, was irrelevant the next week, was kind of battling an injury. Now we'll see how he does. And then you get DeAndre Hopkins, kind of quiet, kind of awesome. We know Mac's reaction to it. But if that chemistry builds and you throw that against Denver, because you're going to see Mr. Surtain Jr. on the field on this week.
Oh, God, yes.
And you're going to have to see how DeAndre Hopkins and Patrick Mahomes do. But again, it's not necessarily the blowouts or all of that, but like they were mentioning there, 3rd and 7, I'm now comfortable.
Yeah.
It's like I hate doing golf analogies, but I love it. It's like a golfer finding out now he can hit that next iron. He used to always be a dead stick from 190 out. Oh, well, now I can hit my 4-iron pretty clean. DeAndre Hopkins is Patrick's 4-iron.
Well, DeAndre Hopkins is the security blanket that they haven't had since the days of Sammy Watkins. And I think that's important because Patrick trusted Sammy Watkins like it was nobody's business, and rightfully so. Very good wide receiver.
On those type of plays.
Yeah, on those type of plays. But as Dominique Foxworth said there on ESPN, the rest of the league should be on notice, because go back and watch that triple coverage throw. I mean, Dominique Foxworth's like, okay. Like, when you have a former NFL player going, oh, like those guys have seen it all. They've played it. They've been there. They've been in those moments. And then they see something like that happen and they're still flabbergasted by it. You know, like they made the right move here with DeAndre Hopkins. And it's been a great marriage so far, right? I know it's the honeymoon phase, but my God, I still go back to the picture he deleted off of Twitter for whatever reason, where he was, put the picture up of Moss and Brady. That's what this thing feels like right now. Like these two guys just became buddies. They became friends. It worked from the start.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
With the two of them, and I'm anxious to see how this thing grows and how this thing becomes even better than what we've seen through the first couple of weeks of this season. And I feel like DeAndre Hopkins was the perfect ad of all those guys that you named, the perfect ad, because he knows he's at the end of his career. He's never really had a chance to win, and he senses this may be my only opportunity to get a Super Bowl win, and so I'm going to go out there and I'm just going to dominate and I'm going to leave it all on the field. And so that's why I think this is a great addition. And if he plays well, maybe you get another year contract, another type of prove it deal as you go into year 14 and you finish your career here in Kansas City or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But I think DeAndre Hopkins understands what's in front of him right now. And he knows if I go out there and dominate, I'm getting a ring. And that's something I fought for 13 freaking years in this league. And now I've got a legit opportunity to do it. Let's go, baby.
Out of bounds. Coming up on the other side, Max got a player comp for you that I want him to tell you. And also, the odds are out for playoff teams, and there's one that I think doesn't make it, even though their odds are pretty good. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Moore. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty, subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Don't forget, this Saturday we'll be at the Landing in Liberty from 2 until 4. Ben Maller will be in town. Bob Fesco's adopting him this weekend. He'll be on the show here in about less than an hour, talking to us on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. So the Landing in Liberty, we will be there from 2 to 4. Mac and I will be scarfing down chicken fingers, the Ben Maller chicken fingers. I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm refusing to eat any sort of chicken until Saturday.
Oh, wow. Look at you going chicken-free.
Chicken fast. That's okay. Right.
Chicken-free. Chicken-free.
Last night I had salmon over a little broccoli and cheese noodle. Oh, my gosh. It was so good. Yeah. I almost sent you guys a picture, but I've done that enough with food.
Are we done with the pictures of food, everybody?
What do they say? The camera eats first?
Yeah.
Phone eats first.
Yeah.
Well, let me get my picture out and show everybody what you're not having.
Here's a fun one to follow if you've ever seen these videos. There's a guy that there's a bunch of videos actually of people that like when their girlfriend's here to take a picture of the food right before they do it, the guy will like take his fork and like mess up.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Yeah, that is fantastic.
Why would you do that?
Oh my God. I wanted to send this picture to Instagram and all my three friends are going to like it.
Yeah.
And yeah, nobody cares that you had salmon last night.
Why don't you take a picture of the tab and say thankful instead of like the food?
Yeah, exactly.
Mac, why don't you give Bob this player comp for Mahomes that we saw from Mark Schlereth, I believe.
Mark Schlereth came out with this one.
Stink. Him and I got into an on-air feud one time,
did
too.
You really?
Oh, God, yes. Who haven't I gotten into an on-air feud with? He started talking trash on me. I talk trash right back on him.
The Bulldog.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Do you remember that back in the day? I think you can probably find that.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, I gotta listen to this. Okay, well, we'll see if you like this comparison. Then he said, Mahomes is the Mariano Rivera of the NFL. He's the best closer there is in the league. If he gets the ball with time left,
That's perfect. Yeah. I mean, I said yesterday, it kind of reminds me of Wade Davis, you know, to kind of localize
it. So I brought it up.
Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah. I'm in on that.
Love it.
Yeah.
I saw it this morning. I was like, Mac, you got to set Bob up.
I think Mariano Rivera is the best athlete that I've ever seen at his job. I don't know that I've ever seen an athlete better at doing what they're supposed to do than Mariano Rivera. Now, did he have his down? Yeah, of course. He blew a World Series in 2001. But other than that, like, I mean, automatic. I don't know that there's a better athlete at their specific job that I've ever seen than Mariano Rivera. You are going in to get three outs, go do it, and 99% of the time he was effective.
And that's kind of how Mahomes is with 2 minutes left. And
it's a great comparison. Yeah. I mean, like there are certain athletes that you just like. I think Mariano Rivera, if I'm not mistaken, and I very well could be, but I think he was the first player to get 100% of the vote for the Hall of Fame in baseball ever. Like Babe Ruth didn't get 100%. George Brett didn't get. Nolan Ryan didn't. I think Mariano Rivera was the first guy to get 100% of the vote for the Hall of Fame. And like, this is the greatest closer ever. And for years, you know, Josh, you go, we need our Mariano Rivera. I'm like, that guy doesn't exist. Like, if you can get 3 years out of a closer in baseball, I think you've achieved success with the way that the game is today. Rivera pitched for 20 years or whatever it was. No, I love that comparison.
And what's hilarious is he was a failed product that discovered a pitch and then it was over.
It was over.
Yeah. Once he discovered a cutter in the bullpen with like a bullpen coach.
Right.
He was like, I can place this and I can throw this effectively. It goes like 91, 92, but I'll just break a bunch of bats and get ground outs and I don't have to worry about strikeouts. I'll just get people to, you know, jam them and it's over.
It was unbelievable. I mean, watching that guy do his job was unbelievable. He's just in a different category by himself. No, but I think Mahomes is absolutely there. Like, that's why Todd Bowles, like, the more I was thinking about it again last night, I'm like,
from Mariano Rivera to Todd Bowles?
Yeah, like not going for two, not like, finishing that game. Going? Like, not even letting it go into overtime, calling a timeout, preserving time.
That's terrible.
Preserving time for no reason. For Patrick Mahomes, because you had a feeling they were going to score there. They were going to get go for two, which they didn't. Right. And he's still addressing that. Like, we planned and, you know, decided, you know, before whatever. You made a horrible decision, and now you're trying to defend your horrible decision. But the worst decision was calling the timeout and preserving time for Patrick Mahomes to move that ball down the field. I mean, it's ridiculous.
So, speaking of ridiculous, football season is on the back end side.
Tonight marks the second half of the season. After tonight, there'll be less than half a football season left.
We got districts at high school football. I can't wait. Blue Springs South, Blue Springs. I'll be there on the field with some buddies of mine to watch that game on Friday night. So those playoffs are starting. College football, man. There's like 3 weeks left.
Yeah. College football ain't so damn fast, right?
It's coming to an end. And so odds are out for teams to make the playoffs. Well, the teams I'm about to list have at least a -1,000 as of right now to make the playoffs. So -1,000 to win or to get to the playoffs.
So don't put your money on them because, you know.
Yeah. Chiefs, Lions, Bills are all at minus 10,000 to make the playoffs.
Minus 10,000.
So they're almost out, right?
I think the Chiefs' odds to make the playoffs are greater than 99%,
whatever that means, right? Well, I mean, if they win this week and next week, their playoff, they will be taken off. Like the book, it just won't happen.
Well, who's still betting on the Chiefs not to go to the playoffs?
I don't know. Nobody? The other teams that are minus 1,000 at minimum to make it are the Ravens, the Texans, the Falcons, the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Is there a team on there that you think doesn't make it? Because let me go back over these. The Chiefs will win the West. They're in. The Lions have already won the North. They're in.
The Bills have already won the East.
They're in.
Yeah.
The Ravens. This is a big one tonight.
Yeah, so you could have tonight. If the Texans
have already won the South.
Yeah, like you
who's
thought
in the South?
No. I'm saying like you thought for a hot minute maybe Indianapolis would have shown up, but they didn't.
Chance.
Jacksonville's irrelevant. And who's the other team in the South?
Houston, Jacksonville, Titans.
Oh yeah, the Titans. They're irrelevant. Yeah. Tommy Callahan's their head coach down there selling auto parts to the working class people for working class folks.
Because that's who he is, and that's who I care about.
That's exactly right.
And then the Eagles. The Eagles have not won the East. The NFC is loaded. The Eagles are the team I think can miss this list.
I think they are
the minus 1,000 to make the playoffs as of right now. Minus 1,000. So if you wanted money, you would bet the Eagles not to win because the Commanders right now lead the East.
Right.
They're in second, right? The NFC West is going to get one team.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think two teams are coming out of the West.
Well,
I
mean, everybody's 4-4 at this point. Like, it's hard to say at this point in time, there will be two teams coming out of there. But how many teams are going to make it out of the North? You got the Lions, I think the Vikings, and I think three make it. Chicago's done.
Yep.
So you probably have three teams from the North making it, right?
Green Bay's going to make it.
That's what I'm saying. Three teams from the North. So that leaves you four others. That's three other division winners and then another wild card. Who's going to be that final wild card?
Because
it's got to be Philadelphia.
Atlanta's going to win the South.
Right. And nobody else is making the playoffs out of that division.
You don't think Tampa could come back?
No. Okay. I think that thing is done.
They've already lost twice to the Falcons.
And Baker's now nursing injuries and the coach sucks.
And it's interesting to go through this list because you can essentially figure out who your playoff teams are already by week 9.
Yeah.
Or week 10.
Yeah. So I think people are kind of sleeping on them right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, man. Like, Saquon Barkley kind of woke up that franchise. That was a great free agent addition for them, by the way. Like, I didn't think it would be as good as it is right now. We'll see how the rest of the thing plays out. But so far, he's kind of woken up that franchise and given them that kind of juice that they needed. So I think you get the three teams from the North, your other three division winners, and then I think Philadelphia is probably your final wild card, however you want to rank them, right? The final wild card, because there's no wild card coming out of the South. There's probably not a wild card coming out of the West.
So your standings in the NFC are Detroit 1, Commanders 2, Falcons 3, Cardinals 4.
Mm-hmm.
Vikings are the 5 seed. Eagles are the 6 seed. Packers are the 7 seed.
Right.
And the Eagles are 6-2. The Commanders are 7-2.
Yeah.
So when that game gets played, holy cow, Dr. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun. Yeah, the NFC West is interesting. You say only one team. I can't disagree. But those are four good teams.
Like the
man.
Next team out, or the first team out is Chicago Bears.
Who's winning that division?
Exactly. That's a good question.
Thank you.
I would put my money on the Rams. Quarterback coach.
See, I would have said the same thing.
Yeah, quarterback coach.
Yeah.
That's Rams or Cardinals. Yeah. I think the Niners are still really good.
I think Ayuk being out all season and Christian McCaffrey about as nervous watching him as you are Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, my God. Did you watch the practice videos of him? I'm watching like, oh.
Not a huge practice watcher. But yeah, so I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But it's interesting to see.
Oh, I'm not either, but I saw the video on X formerly Twitter, and I'm like, let me see what this guy's got. Because I have like this side bet with my buddy Evan, who lives in North Carolina, and he's like, Christian McCaffrey's going to be fine. I'm like, that dude's done. So I'm like,
it is kind of a fun question to have because I know that Tua's injury is a lot more serious, but who do you think's fan base is more nervous watching every snap, Tua or Christian McCaffrey?
Both.
I mean,
I'm going to say it's San Francisco because
you have to take the severity out of it. Like, don't think of it as like, well, if Tua gets a concussion, his life's over.
Yeah.
But it's like every time Tua touches the ball, you're like, is this going to be the hit?
And every time
McCaffrey gets the ball, you're like, is he going to get hurt? Is he going to go out? Is he limping? That's what I'm saying. Don't think of it as like.
No, that's fair.
No, I think it's San Francisco because Miami doesn't have many fans. San Francisco. Like, I'm being serious about that. Like, there's not a lot. Like, do you know a Dolphin fan? Other than my brother-in-law, I don't know anybody who's ever rooted for the Miami Dolphins.
Only one. Literally, that's it.
So everybody who lives in Florida is from somewhere else, so they all have their teams. But San Francisco's got, like, so I think San Francisco fans are more nervous than Miami fans. Miami fans are like, yeah, I could go to the beach. What do I care?
Interesting question. Who are you rooting for tonight and why? 913-586-7965. Tonight it is Cincinnati at Baltimore. Who are you rooting for tonight and why? One hell of a game on Thursday Night Football tonight. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.